And good afternoon. I'm Claudia, your host for this evening's Uprise radio special broadcast for May Day 2024. It's International Workers' Day, and very soon we'll be crossing live to the action at the State Library of Victoria in Naarm for the International Workers' Day rally. There is plenty coming up, so stay tuned with us for this hour and a half broadcast. We're going to be bringing you all the speeches, all the crowd responses, commentary, discussion, and more.
Viva el pueblo, vivan los trabajadores. Long live the people, long live the workers. You're tuned in to 3CR Community Radio on May Day, International Workers' Day, a day of international solidarity. Don't move that dial.
And yes, you're down in front of the State Library. This is Annie and Priya. We're down here for 3CR and for your benefit to the live broadcast of the May the 1st Workers' Day rally outside. And we've got Jasper who's here, who's come down with the rest of the crowd. Why is it important to be here, Jasper?
Yeah, so I'm on Wurundjeri country right now. I'm a Wurundjeri traditional owner, so I'm here to support workers' rights, basically. You know, May Day is about the workers and putting the means into the back of the hands of the proletariat. So we're here fighting against colonial forces together as an anti-imperialist rally.
Well, yeah, and you're part of the Black People's Union. Tell us, and the Black People's Union was one of the people that called for the rally to be on May the 1st and Wednesday.
Absolutely, you know, we should have a May Day rally on May Day. You know what I mean? That's just as good as it gets, right?
And why is it anti-imperialist? Why is that at the core?
Well, so we've had a coalition of groups that have come here. We have some speakers from West Papua. We have some Aboriginal speakers. We have some speakers from Palestine. So we have a coalition here that are fighting against the colonial, the settler colonial and the imperialist forces together, basically to form a coalition to say that colonisation can go and get stuffed.
Yeah, that's right. And it's good that there's more and more people turning up right now.
Oh, absolutely. The crowd is growing and it's a united front of so many faces that are fighting against the imperialist system, against the capitalist system and against the colonial system.
Thanks very much for talking to us, Jasper. We're going to go over here and talk to Maze, who is part of the Game Workers Australian Union. She's here at the rally for May Day down in front of the State Library. G'day, Maze. Why are you here?
I'm here to celebrate the second birthday of Game Workers Australia, which is pretty awesome. We have new conveners now, and I was one of the first conveners of Game Workers Australia, but we've got new blood, and it's awesome to see a new national trade union live on from its founders. You know, it's really hard at the moment to keep up the effort, but we're all here.
It tells us that it's an international affair as well as a modern affair, the May Day celebrations, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're part of a global movement as well. And, you know, we all exist pretty online. So we're pretty, excited that we're still here, still alive.
And you're in company now here. There's lots of more people turning up.
Yeah, it's been so awesome to be part of such a bigger movement. I think that when we started off, we felt really alone. And then being here with the BPU and Rahu and then all of the other trade unions as well, it's just, we're part of a class war, you know? And that wasn't so evident for most of our members before, but now it really is.
So your members have, education has been a really big part of developing your union.
Yeah, exactly. We were doing grassroots work from 2018 to 2022 before we became part of Professionals Australia. And that was really like, what is a union? What is an award? That kind of thing. And then after our first year or first 18 months of existence, we realized that, well, one, we had gotten 10% density after we had become a registered trade union, so 10% fees-paying members. And then also that, yeah, we had become normalized and people knew that unions existed. So then it was about, well, what is the broader union movement? Now we know what a union means in our own industry, but what does it mean for the whole of society? And so that's what we're learning now. And it's really cool to be part of Professionals Australia for Palestine and working with all of the other divisions of Professionals Australia, like the engineers and the architects. We all have our own links to the war in Palestine.
And I guess too that because it's May Day, it's really fantastic to be able to come together and celebrate the Workers' Day.
Yeah, that's it. You know, celebrate that we do have power, that we have a history of overturning apartheid and of working for our rights.
Thanks very much for talking to us, Mace.
Thank you.
We're in front of the State Library where we'll have to walk around this way, I think. We're in front of the State Library. The people are gathering. It's for May Day. It's the Workers' Day, and it's on May the 1st, Wednesday, in Melbourne. We're here with a crowd of people that are increasingly coming to hear speeches. G'day.
I just want to say today, Anak Bangsa Merdeka, we read poetry in this event.
Yeah.
Please listen in the radio. We will read the poetry for you guys. Stay tuned.
Thank you for coming. Well, that's great. This is an international day. What are you thinking, Priya?
Well, I mean, it looks like the turnout is pretty good. Looks like more and more people are showing up. There's some great music at the moment, and I think we are seeing representation from a lot of different groups. Just now heard from Anak Bangsa Malaysia, and now we're joined by Ant.
G'day, Ant. You're a HOSPO worker, aren't you?
Have been for years, not currently. Gainfully unemployed.
Except that you're not really, because you're helping out Renegade Solidarity. Yeah. So tell us about your work.
Well, was in HOSPO for a good 10 years, I'd say. Part of HOSPO Voice for a brief time, but as a whole, it's a really sort of transitory sort of industry. You know, a lot of people don't have that much of an interest in getting unionised and organised in it because they see it as a sort of like halfway point between there and somewhere else. So it was a difficult industry to be in terms of that, and like, you know, got underpaid at a couple of jobs, significantly lack of super, and got, you know, only got introduced to the union movement a bit later in life. And by that point, I was actually working for some small business owners who were paying fairly and all that, but just that importance of, you know, the union movement and that becoming more organized is so, especially young folks who don't know their rights can get into an industry and be treated with respect, and also format solidarity and understand how their sort of like exploitation and industry is connected to other forms of exploitation.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that workers, the whole idea of people understanding that they are a part of collective, which is the working class.
Yeah, absolutely. And been thinking a bit about the last, well, the sort of 2010s, and, you know, they say it was the biggest mass protest sort of like mobilization decade in history, bigger than the 60s, and why nothing amounted from that. And sort of the understanding is that a lot of these movements sort of came together with disparate sort of groups, like fairly horizontally structured, which I'm not against at all. I think that's really like fruitful. It's like prefigurative politics, but that they didn't like lead to anything more significant, I think had a lot to do with
misunderstanding of power and what power means.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So exciting to see, you know, trade unionists for Palestine and the growing rank and file movement happening around this movement. And, you know, if this becomes like a fulcrum of, you know, reinvigoration of unions and like working class movements in this continent, it'd be pretty amazing.
Well, it's good that in Victoria, we don't have it on May Day as it's always the first Sunday after, right? But this is a movie, and you know, we're going to be following that up too. That's on Sunday. There's going to be a march, and it's connecting to Palestine and all the rest of it. Very good, important. But this is a movement to put a stake in the heart of it, doing it on May Day. Yeah. Always do it on May Day.
Absolutely. I mean, what, like 1890s, and this country, right? It was like one of the biggest union movements in the world. So yeah. Sort of like tapping into that amazing history here, and so it's like one of the few things about Australian history, like settler Australian history, that you can be proud of, which is like the union movement, the 8-hour workday in this city, the stonemasons, and kind of like looking back to the future, looking back to the past to teach us how to go forward in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much for talking to me, Ed. That's great. This is 3CR. We're down in front of the State Library, and we're at the May Day rally May Day, and we've got a Palestinian active person. I see you every Sunday.
I see you every Sunday. How are you?
Good. Tell us about why it's important for you to be here on May Day in front of the State Library.
Look, it's critical. We're waiting for our unions to rise up and stand up. Palestine is definitely union business. We need our unionists and all members of unions across all sectors, whether it's social, engineering, construction, you name it, to stand up and rise up, to stop the complicity, to end the complicity with Israel, to end arms manufacturing. It all starts at a grassroots level, and that's why we're here, to support our workers, but also beseech our workers to rise up and stand up against injustices in Palestine.
Now, we're expecting later in the month that there's going to be nationwide rallies around the ports in support of Palestine. That's the truth, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's critical. I mean, you've got Zim Shipping, who has outwardly said that they will support and fund and do anything in their power to fund and assist Israel in its genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza. That in itself should allow and make us think really hard about how we are interacting with organizations like this and how our port systems are interacting with organizations like this. We cannot continue to be complicit. It's been over 200 days, and now we're looking at numbers of 50,000 Palestinians killed. That is incredibly outrageous. How do we continue going on like this, like nothing's going on in the world? We have to act.
Most dangerous place in the world to be a worker, Palestine, Gaza.
Absolutely. You have workers across multiple sectors, whether it's the healthcare industry, whether it's education, whether it's reporters and journalists. Every single fiber of the Palestinian community is being targeted, and every single employer in the community is being targeted. We need to act. We can't. There's literally nothing left for us but to act now, rise up. And today, as May Day, the workers need to come together and rise up accordingly.
It's a key point of this particular rally, an anti-imperialist rally.
It is. I mean, definitely it is, because if you're looking now at what's happening on Gaza's shores, is that you've got the U.S. creating a port to assist Israel in carrying out its imperialist and Zionist agenda. You've got a port being built by the U.S., funded by the U.S., utilizing the rubble of Palestinian homes that have been destroyed in Gaza to build this port, and now you have the U.K. Army that might secure it and provide security for it. It is imperialism all over. There is no doubt about it, and we must stand up against imperialist injustice, whether it's in Palestine or elsewhere in the world, like the Congo and like Sudan.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Because around the world, ordinary people, workers, students, have been standing up. There's a line being drawn between the power elites and the people.
And this is where we need to rise up as the people, because everything starts at a grassroots level. Students have shown up, individual workers have shown up. We need to strike. We need to ask our union leaders to not only make blanket statements, but actually take action towards making these statements credible, making these statements worthwhile, and moving forward. We can't just release statements and go, free Palestine. No, there has to be act, and we have to act now.
The saying, we're all Palestinians, explain to people why that's such a potent saying.
It's pertinent because fundamentally, if we aren't doing what we can for Palestine now, we have exposed ourselves to what the future may be for us all. If we allow this to happen to Palestinians, we're allowing it to happen to all of society, across humanity, across all races and religious lines, etc. So it needs to happen today, because we are all Palestinians fundamentally if we're looking at how humanity and the future of how humanity will take place.
Thank you very much for talking to me. We're outside the State Library. It's May Day, and it's an anti-imperialist rally that's been called by a collective, and it's on May Day. And we're speaking to?
Carlos Eduardo Morreo. Hi, guys.
G'day, how are you? Why is it important to be here today?
Well, May Day has been a key date in the socialist and left calendar for decades, all the way back to the Haymarket days, right? So that's why we're here, and we're here to kind of remember those who fought before us, and to kind of, you know, say that that's our history, that's our genealogy. But then, of course, today we're also here convened in a very particular way, right? We're being convened by groups that are all kind of expressing solidarity with Palestine, right? So we've got workers' cause, international solidarity, and Palestine.
And the politics of imperialism or anti-imperialism.
And the politics of anti-imperialism. And the politics of settler colonialism as well, which are at play here, but also over in Israel, right? So workers, you know, workers, all of us, everyone assembled here, all of us, you know, this is something that we are constantly trying to do, right? To articulate workers' struggles with on-the-ground actions, practices against imperialism, against colonialism. Sometimes, in some cases, you know, working with, through the state, but in many cases, working against our governments.
Now, this is not your first country of origin. You have come from somewhere else, and this tells us that this day is an international affair.
Yeah, that's right. So if you can hear something in the accent, well, I come from Caracas, from Venezuela. So Venezuela's politics, of course, you know, the situation back home, back in Venezuela, is intimately tied to imperialist politics, right? So we've got, you know, U.S. sanctions once again against the country, you know, against the government of Maduro. So standing against U.S. involvement, against kind of U.S. interference in our sovereign countries is a key thing for us to do. Workers back in Venezuela are organizing, you know, against U.S. imperialism, but also, it has to be said, you know, also against the authoritarian politics of the current administration, of the current government back in Venezuela. So workers need to be, you know, expressing international solidarity, working together against imperialism, but also to change and transform our societies for the kinds of justices that matter to us, social justice, economic justice, workers' democracy.
Well, you know, when you say history, there's lessons in the May Day story. They're all very vivid when you go back and you hear the personal stories of the people who fought to make this and say, this is the day we're going to stand up and this is an important day.
Yes, that's true. I was literally, I've just come from a class and I was talking to some of my students. I have some excellent Vietnamese students who were telling me about the importance of May Day back home, back in Vietnam. It's an actual public holiday, unlike here. You know, they go out and they have rallies both on, you know, Vietnamese Day on the 30th of April and on the 1st of May.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what are we seeing here, Pia?
Well, I mean, you know, the crowd is really gathering, seeing a lot of flags, a lot of different unions gathering here. We've got the Renters and Housing Union down the front taking some photos, and hopefully we're going to hear from Harry soon. We've got Karina on that to go and grab Harry. I'm trying to find my union, the National Tertiary Education Union. I can't see any of our flags yet, but God, I hope we're coming.
Come on, I think we should go down to the RAFU people and see what they've got to say for themselves. Yeah, you can hear the music. G'day, we're doing an OB for 3CR, and it's great to have RAFU.
Listen up, you're tuned to 855 Community Radio 3CR for May Day. Today we're celebrating as workers.
So we represent renters from all across the continent. Renters are workers, and workers need solidarity. We're all part of the same problem, the same system, and we're here to fight back against the same issues that every worker fights against, and also for decolonization, because that is the greatest housing injustice that this continent has ever seen. Displacement of the people that were here first, that's housing injustice, and we stand with them today.
Harry, I know you're also a member of Black People's Union. Yep. Can you tell us a little bit about why it's so important to show up in solidarity as a non-First Nations person to these kinds of anti-imperialist events?
Well, I think that we have, we have the same enemy, and that's capitalist colonialism. And there is only one just way to have a new society, and that can't be white-led. We can't. That's just reinventing a red colonialism, and that doesn't get us anywhere. We need a new way of living where all people can live in a just society, and that starts by lifting up those who had this land stolen.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Yeah. we're down at the front of the State Library. It's May Day, and the crowds are gathering. Long live May Day, workers of the world unite.
This is a little update from Arina. Speeches are set to start at 5:30, so we are right on time. Crowds are gathering.
Most of my Latino and Black people.
And let's listen to some of the music before we head towards that.
I'm so concerned with that philosophizing about freedom and socialist democracy is usually, unfortunately, beyond their rationale. They don't realize that America can't exist without separating them from their identity. Because if we had some sense of who we really are, there's no way in hell we'd allow this country to push its genocidal consensus on our homelands. This ignorance exists when it can be destroyed. Niggas talk about change and working within the system to achieve that. The problem with always being a conformist is that when you try to change the system from within, it's not you who changes the system. It's the system that will eventually change you. There is usually nothing wrong with compromising a situation, but compromising yourself in a situation is another story completely. And I have seen this happen long enough in the few years that I've been alive to know that it's a serious problem. Latino America is a huge colony of countries whose presidents are cowards in the face of economic imperialism. You see, third world countries are rich places, abundant in resources, and many of these countries have the capacity to feed their starving people and the children we always see digging for food and trash on commercials. But plutocracies, in other words, a government run by the rich, such as this one, and traditionally oppressive European states, force the third world into buying overpriced, unnecessary goods while exporting huge portions of their natural resources. I'm quite sure that people will look upon my attitude and sentiments and look for hypocrisy and hatred in my words. My revolution is born out of love for my people, not hatred for others. You see, most of Latinos are here because of the great inflation that was caused by American companies in Latin America. Aside from that, many are seeking a life away from the puppet democracies that were funded by the United States. Places like El Salvador, Guatemala, Peru, Colombia, Nicaragua, Ecuador, and La República Dominicana. And not just Spanish-speaking countries either, but Haiti and Jamaica as well. As different as we have been taught to look at each other by colonial society, we are in the same struggle. And until we realize that, we'll be fighting for scraps from the table of a system that has kept us subservient instead of being self-determined. And that's why we have no control over when the embargo will stop in Cuba or when the bombs will stop dropping in Vieques. But you see, here in America, the attitude that is fed to us is that outside of America, there live lesser people. Fuck them, let them fend for themselves. No, fuck you. They are you. No matter how much you want to dye your hair blonde and put fake eyes in or follow an anorexic standard of beauty, or no matter how many diamonds you buy from people who exploit your own, brutally to get them.
Walawani, everyone. Naga Kirin Indi Mwaliwandi Nyurundurga Umburamunda. Hello, everyone. My name's Kieran. Thank you for coming out today to our May Day protest. To start off the day, we're going to bring up a local blackfella to give an acknowledgement of country. I'd like to call Jasper up to the stage.
Gabi Melamangil. I want to acknowledge today the resistance fighters of the land and the waters who shed blood against colonial forces fighting for their land. Our elders, our warriors, our martyrs. Melbourne is a crime scene. Melbourne is a massacre site. I'm Jasper Cohen Hunter, a Gunungulan Baluk man of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people. I'm a member of the Black People's Union, fighting for the empowerment and self-determination of Indigenous peoples on this continent and in solidarity globally. We are gathered here today as a coalition against imperialism, and in particular, the disgusting, abhorrent, and backwards imperialist West. We stand together as a coalition of decolonial resistance. From the sacred land of the Wurundjeri to West Papua to Palestine to all fights for sacred land, we will resist, we will fight. This May Day, remember that decolonisation is not only possible, it is inevitable. It is inevitable. Thank you.
Thanks, cuz. So it's May Day today, as we all know, 1st of May. May Day is about the international workers of the world. So with that in mind, the theme this year is anti-imperialism and workers' solidarity against colonialism. A fitting theme considering that the single major threat against the working class today is the imperialist violence and colonial aggression being waged against the workers of the global south. Though the events of October 7 and the absolutely unhinged murderous violence of the illegitimate Israeli occupation has drawn the world's attention to imperialism and resistance, it is important to remember that this violence and this aggression, this exploitation and oppression, it is not restricted to one place. When we look around the world, we see a common struggle. We see Indigenous people being displaced, having our natural resources stolen, our governance systems couped or perverted into puppet systems, our cultures and our way of life being attacked and destroyed. When we see our people being ethnically cleansed, subjected to genocide, slaughtered with impunity, we have to remember that these are not separate issues. These fights across the world are all linked. While our enemies might take various names and faces, it is ultimately the same enemy we all share. This enemy is Western imperialism and settler colonialism. What is imperialism? No doubt you've all heard the word, but what actually is it? Imperialism is the highest stage of capitalism. It is the stage at which a nation and its corporations use their military, their culture, and their laws to rob another nation of their resources and their autonomy. While it may be true that there are different powers and forces across the world who engage in imperialism, it is paramount that we, here in the West, recognise our own positions on a global stage and act accordingly. To aid genuine liberation struggles is to combat their primary obstacle, which is this Western imperialism we speak of. This interference in other nations' sovereignty to advance Western economic and political interests. Once Western imperialism is defeated and our states are no longer militarily and economically decimating other nations, once they are no longer actively preventing revolution around the world, these liberation struggles will actually have an opportunity to advance. It is at that point that we can turn then to the question of how to materially support their struggle. Once the threat of Western interference no longer looms over the potential collapse of a non-Western state. But as it stands, Western imperialism orchestrates instability in nations that it seeks to cripple, not so that the workers' revolution can take place, but so that the Western interests and players can be put into positions of power. Western imperialism is the primary contradiction in the world, and it is the primary threat to all liberation struggles, and those of us who reside in the imperial cause must be accountable to the rest of the globe. It is us who reside in the West who are responsible for using our agency to dismantle the power structures of our own nations. We can't afford to waste any time condemning enemy nations of Western states when doing so simply adds fuel to the warmongering fire and distracts from the primary issues at hand. To talk about the two side by side, to compare Western imperialism and Chinese or Russian imperialism, allows for a false equivalence in the minds of the masses. False conflations of the imperialism of Russia, China, or elsewhere are exactly that, false conflations. We cannot compare the two, and the denouncement of these Western enemies not only serves this empire, it creates a false illusion that regional powers
are comparable to the largest global powers the world has ever known. Global powers who wield the largest and most powerful militaries ever known, operating from the thousands of military bases located right across the globe as they insert themselves into hundreds of other nations. Make no mistake, the Western imperialists maintain a near monopoly on this imperialism. No other nation comes close to the destruction, the pain, the theft and genocide committed by the West. These criticisms are not only unhelpful at a time when accurate, coherent and precise analysis is critical, they are counterproductive. The single greatest impact you can have in support of Palestine, of West Papua, of the Congo or Sudan, or any of the other African nations being ravaged by the West, in support of South America or the Pacific Ocean or anywhere else that imperialism and colonialism exist, is right here in your very own backyard. It is places like Australia that supplies arms, resources and logistics to Israel and Indonesia. It is places like Australia who are currently stealing natural resources from some 35 plus African nations. It is places like Australia that continue to police the Pacific Ocean. And it is this colony that occupies some 250 plus unceded Aboriginal nations right here on this continent. It is not enough to symbolically stand in solidarity with the victims of Western imperialism. Symbolic gestures make little to no difference to the material conditions these people struggle under. And quite frankly, it is a cop-out. It's a cop-out because it costs nothing to symbolically stand with Palestine and West Papua or elsewhere. It makes little to no difference to the everyday life of Western settlers on this continent, and it makes no impact on the imperialist war machine. Challenging the occupations here, though, from inside the belly of this beast, that would actually require some effort. That would actually require some sacrifice. That would require tangible and material action. It would require challenging the status quo that everyone seems complacent enough to live within. And ladies and gentlemen, until we are ready to confront this colony, nothing is ever going to happen and nothing is ever going to change. So in the spirit of anti-imperialist and decolonial solidarity, tonight we have speakers from a bunch of different backgrounds, ethnicities and locations around the world that have been impacted by Western imperialism and by colonialism. Start off with, I'd like to call up Tasnim to the stage. Tasnim is a Palestinian organiser and scholar activist with Unionists for Palestine and Monash NTEU. Her family was exiled to Gaza from Jaffa in 1949, and her father was born in Gaza. Give it up for Tasnim.
Thanks, Kieran. I wanted to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations, and pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Sovereignty has never been ceded. And as Kieran said, the best way that we can resist empire, the best way that we can resist imperialism is right here in resistance against this settler colony, this Australian capitalist racist colony. It's an honour for me to be here speaking on May Day. I think it's critical for us to start thinking about the ways that struggles connect, about the role of the workers' struggle in this current time where there is this genocide being perpetrated against the Palestinian people. We've seen very clearly that it is not by appealing to the Labour Party that change will arrive. We know that the international community is implicated in this genocide. We know that there is no state that will shift in aid of the Palestinians. We know that no political party really represents the interests of Palestinians, even in the Middle East. So we know that where power lies, the major parties, the ones that are in power, are not acting in aid of the Palestinians in Egypt or in Jordan or in Saudi Arabia or in Turkey, in nations that are majority Muslim nations, majority Arab nations, nations that do have that brotherhood with the Palestinians, let alone a country like this where obviously Palestinians are here as, you know, exiled from their land as settlers here. This is a white majority nation. And so it's really important for us to start thinking differently about power and about how we can enact change and how change happens through struggle. That's it. And this is why this moment is critical and why it's awakening the whole world, because it is a time again where we're able to see that very, very clearly, that you have to fight for the Palestinian people to live. And we see that in the Congo, we see that in Sudan, we see that, you know, in front of me there's this sign here, workers of the world unite, free political prisoners in Iran, free jailed workers in Iran. And the people of Iran have suffered enough. The workers of Iran have suffered enough. And so it's in times like this that I think we can start to move towards unity across struggles, unity across nations. We know that in Palestinian resistance movement history, strikes were called and strikes did have an impact on the Zionist state. We know that people took action, industrial action, in support of Palestine. And so mainly what I wanted to speak about today is some of those campaigns that are attempting to do that here in Naam. So just today, for example, at Heat Treatment Australia, to shut it down, campaign, we had a press conference to basically announce that, from our understanding, based on Heat Treatment Australia's CEO announcement on radio and on Channel 7 yesterday, that basically the company has moved production due to sustained community pickets. So the campaign at HTA has been sustained for over 12 weeks. It's been led by residents. It's connected with workers in the area. There's been so much leafleting, conversations, barbecues happening to speak and connect with the factories. And that is why I feel that there was this element of success to this campaign. It was a mass campaign. And that's something for us to start to see possibility in. It's something that definitely inspires me to think that that's a possible direction for all of us to put our energy into. Of course, none of us are claiming that now, you know, now Israel's not going to have weapons because of moving production in one little factory in the suburbs. However, it does signal to us and opens up our imagination to what is possible when workers do stop work, or when community and workers stop work on weapons. And that's been our slogan, two slogans: weapons out of the suburbs and stop work on weapons. So we have specifically that focus on stopping work. We've also been talking about that at the docks, and many of you were there in the community picket. This focus on how it's the workers at the docks, the MUA workers, who can actually down tools. They have that power because they are in that industry. And we should encourage and we should think in that way about how, even if the government will not stop arming Israel, even if the unions are too weak, even if the laws make it difficult to impose sanctions, that the workers themselves, they can impose sanctions. And so I think that's really relevant to a day like this. I hope that we can keep working in this direction. It's a difficult path. It's facing reality, seeing that the ALP is corrupt and there's going to be a protest outside the ALP conference and we should be really noisy there. But also, it's not about an attachment and an appeal to power. So now, instead, by abandoning that way of trying to end genocide, we're saying very clearly, what has history shown us? And history has shown us that genocides actually don't stop until there is mass intervention from people. How do genocides stop? That is a question I've been asking in all my speeches, because we know that, and with the Palestinian context, we always hear and it's told to us, the Holocaust, never again. And that is true. But from my understanding, never again means to understand, how did the Nazis kill and murder 6 million Jewish people? And where was the international community there? And what were the powerful doing when that was happening? Of course, we will not allow that in Gaza. There's already 40,000 people have been murdered in Gaza. That is genocide, and this genocide must end. Thank you.
Happy May Day and give it to the bosses.
Thank you, Tazanim. Up next, we've got my West Papuan cousin over here, Cindy Makabori. Cindy's from the tribes of Warrapin and Biak. They're a recent law graduate and a proud black Indigenous West Papuan activist. Give it up for Cindy.
Free West Papua. Thank you, Kieran. Tabea Mufa, my name is Cindy Makabori. I'm a proud black Indigenous West Papuan activist from the tribes of Warrapin and Biak. And thank you to Maswanto Kiran and the Black People's Union for having West Papua today. And first and foremost, I would like to acknowledge that we are on stolen and unceded lands of the Kulin Nations, and I pay my respect to the elders past and present. I would also like to extend my respect to any First Nations people with us here today. As an Indigenous West Papuan here, I would like to acknowledge that while Papuans were and continue to be victims of a colonization of our own land, here we are the benefactors of a colonization of this land. And so our fight for the liberation of West Papua on this continent must first and foremost center Aboriginal sovereignty. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Today, as we celebrate May Day, a day that resonates with the global labor movement, it's crucial to reflect not only on the progress we've made, but also on the struggles that persist, particularly in regions like West Papua, here in so-called Australia, Palestine, so-called South America, Tibet, Kashmir, Western Sahara, and other occupied and colonized territories. May Day represents a beacon of hope, unity, and solidarity for all those who strive for freedom and justice. And today, in 1963, the region of West Papua was formally transferred from Dutch colonial rule to Indonesian administration under the New York Agreement. Shame. This agreement was brokered with the United Nations and involved the Netherlands ceding control of West Papua to Indonesia. This event marked a significant turning point in the history of West Papua, leading to subsequent political and social developments in the region. And as today marks the 61st anniversary of the annexation of West Papua by Indonesia, this can be seen as a continuation of colonial practices and imperialism, where a foreign power like Indonesia and powerful nations such as America, the UK, Australia, and the Netherlands exploit resources and exerts control over territory and its people without the Indigenous people's full consent or representation of their own interests. And in West Papua, the struggle for independence is deeply intertwined with the themes of May Day. The Indigenous people of West Papua have long been fighting for our right to self-determination and freedom, and freedom from the Indonesian government and its military oppression. The Indigenous Papuan have faced significant human rights violations, environmental degradation, and cultural suppression. Just a few months ago, an innocent Indigenous Papuan man was violently tortured by the Indonesian military. He unfortunately died, and until today, the perpetrators are not being held accountable for their crime. Shame. Cases like these, cases of torture, have been rampant in West Papua due to the widespread impunity in the region. And perpetrators are not held accountable in public trials, while the internal court processes, particularly the police and their internal disciplinary procedures, lack transparency and independence. Shame. And the perpetrators are often received sentences that are disproportionately lenient with regard to the severity of the crime. We urge that Australia must not stay complicit to the ongoing genocide happening right on its doorstep. Stop providing arms and training to the Indonesian military as they continue to violently occupy West Papua. And also, many other occupied and colonized countries across the world continue to face similar struggles. From Palestine to Kashmir, from Tibet to Western Sahara, people are fighting against occupation, colonization, and the denial of their fundamental rights. So the principles that underpin May Day, fair labor practices, equality, and justice are universal. They apply not to only workers in established industries, but also to those whose very existence is threatened as oppressive regimes and colonial powers are ongoing. And so the struggle for independence, dignity and freedom from exploitation is a fundamental human right, regardless of where one lives or works. So as we commemorate May Day, let us remember to stand in solidarity with all those who continue to fight for their rights. Let us use this day as a reminder that our struggles are interconnected, from so-called Australia to West Papua to Palestine to the indigenous people in so-called South America, Kashmir, Tibet, Uyghur, and other colonized and occupied nations. By uniting our voices and efforts, we can create a world where every individual, every community, and every nation can have liberation. Papua Merdeka. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Cindy. Up next, we've got Hakim. Hakim is an organizer with the African Solidarity Collective, committed to building solidarity across causes from the African continent and beyond.
Thank you, Kieran, and thank you to all the other wonderful speakers that have spoken before me and also after me for all their wonderful thoughts and things to act upon. Today I'm speaking on behalf of the African Solidarity Collective, who are committed to stand hand in hand against colonialism and imperialism in all its forms that it evolves into. And as we stand here today, we make firm our commitment against colonialism and imperialism. And to do that, we remember and acknowledge that we are here on the lands of the Kulin Nation, the sovereign lands of the Kulin Nation, on which crimes perpetrated by this colony continue to this day. And as we fight against settler colonialism in every form that it evolves into, we must also fight alongside and for the indigenous people of this land in their fight against settler colonialism, in the fight for liberation and sovereignty of the land, seas and skies that we rally upon today. And we cannot do this work without holding indigenous sovereignty at the center of our struggle, because we know, just like the African continent, that it is the same issues that have led us to where we are today: colonialism and imperialism. Shame. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. And today I speak on the colonial project that was sparked by the greed of colonial powers to acquire more minerals, to acquire more resources, to acquire people to use as labour, ever seeking to increase their own economic and political interests. And for the colonial project to work, they subjugated the African continent and categorized our people using horrible, horrible terms that to this day are a stain on civilization. These categories and these labels enabled these European and Western colonists to justify their actions, to justify their genocides, to justify the inhumanity perpetrated against the people of the African continent. They committed mass atrocities on a land that which was not their own, to a people which they had no jurisdiction over. And Europe and the wider so-called Western powers would not be what they are today if it was not for the stolen wealth of the African continent. If it wasn't for the raw minerals, the cheap or the free labour, the enslaved labour, if it wasn't for the resources that power these Western civilizations to this day, they would not be where they are without the foundations being from African blood, sweat and tears. The historical underpinnings of what colonialism and imperialism have left with us continue to this day. They are not an event in history, they're a continuing event, a system, a politicization of African bodies here in Africa, in the diaspora, and everywhere across the world. The legacy continues to this day. It is a racist hierarchy that continues to this day and needs to be dismantled, first and foremost, from a popular workers' struggle. And to summarize the colonial and imperial interests, I want to use a quote from Walter Rodney, who said that it was economics that Europe should invest in Africa and control the continent's raw materials and labor. But it was racism which confirmed the decision that the form of control should be direct colonial rule. And we will always fight against colonialism and imperialism. Woo! Woo! And we have to remind ourselves that it is our labour by which these imperial and colonial regimes profit, and it is our labour that they use to extend their influence and power. And we here on May Day together are fighting to reclaim our power in systems which seek to take that away from us. We saw our power when activists blocked Zim ships at the port of Melbourne, refusing to allow this country's labour to participate in the genocide of others. We saw our power when social and community service workers walked off the job on the 22nd of February and this morning at 11 a.m. for the second time. And we cannot forget the brave students at campuses all across Australia and the world who are camped out on their university campuses fighting for their universities to divest. And more globally on this day, on May Day, we are reminded of the efforts of the South African people, and notably their workers, who demanded that their labour no longer be used to aid their own repression under an apartheid system. They organised in their hundreds of thousands, from mine workers to metal workers to teachers and to factory workers, to break down the system of apartheid that destroyed their country. And we take motivation from that. They risk their livelihoods, they risk their well-being to make a stand against injustice, and it is that principle to stand against injustice that motivates us to fight against colonialism and imperialism in every evolution of its form. This country is no stranger either to the harms of imperialism and colonialism, and the workers of this country have fought back. And they have fought back hard, and it is time for them to fight again in the freedom of the people of Congo, the people of Sudan, the people of Palestine, and the indigenous people here on this land. And to make it very, very clear, the African continent is filled with anti-colonial movements sparked through the mass movement of stoppage of work and the solidarity of working people. The brutal conditions imposed by colonial powers were always resisted from the very start. There was never any form of subjugation. African people always fought. And this is exampled by the Kenyan resistance formed in the city of Mombasa, in which 15,000 workers united and participated in a general strike that brought the city down to its knees for 12 days. And from then on, the British occupiers of Kenya knew that they were on notice, that the people of Kenya will fight to the end. And today is a day of hope. Today is a day of commemoration of the struggles of the past that have led us to where we are now, and a day to fight for the future that we want. A future in which there is no foreign-backed profits that are put before the humanity of people. A time where workers aren't exploited to build the societies that we live in today and are then discarded. As our collective histories all across, from West Papua to the people of Iran to the people of Palestine and the many other communities elsewhere, whether it is the British or the French or the US or any other colony amongst all the other colonizers, we are committed to their downfall, because we know that a world where they continue to attach themselves to colonialism and imperialism is against our values of equality, it is against our values of the end to a racist hierarchy, and it does not align with our ideas of true fairness. And in the spirit of hope that this day brings to me, I want to leave you with a quote from Fred Hampton, who was a deputy chairman of the Black Panthers at a point in time. And he said, "You can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution. You can murder a liberator, but you can't murder liberation." Thank you very much.
So, Fred Hampton mentioned a author, Walter Rodney. If you've never heard of him, definitely recommend you go look him up. Go have a look at a book. It's called How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. Really great analysis of how imperialism actually impacts the global south. So up next, we have Marisol. Marisol's Amapuche, sorry if I mispronounce this, Amapuche Heliche indigenous from so-called Chile and Argentina, and a member of LASNET. Give it up for Marisol.
Thank you. It's so nice to see so many of you here tonight, especially because it's so cold, yeah? Just wanted to say, Mary Mary Pulemien, Mary Mary Kompuche, Inche Marisol Pinyen. And just saying my greetings in my first language, Mapudungun. Also, Inche Nien Epu Mary Kula Tripantu, Inche Trugun Melvin. Just to thanks again all the indigenous people who are allowing me and my family to live here in Australia. So I would like to acknowledge, you know, that this land has never been ceded. So the Kulin Nation, the Wurundjeri people, they had been under a genocide until today. Normally I don't read my speech, but because I haven't been very well, my brain is not working properly. So what is happening in Chile was how imperialism imposed capitalism in Latin America. How displacing, murdering, flooding it with diseases, trying to maintain oppression and domination in our countries. But the indigenous peoples, together with the grassroots movements, social political groups, women, children, the elderly, and the workers, together, until today, we continue the resistance. In some places, the imperialism had gone on the offensive, like in Cuba, Venezuela, and in Bolivia. Places where the struggle continues against the attacks of imperialism. USA imperialism has maintained a decades-long blockade against Cuba. In Venezuela, it has intensified the blockade. The same in Bolivia, which intend to become economically independent, as that's all the countries in our brown Latin America. That is why today it is so important to support the Palestinian people in their liberation process. The Israeli and USA beast will not stop, and therefore we must not stop. We must intensify our actions and to continue denouncing the European and USA imperialism, colonialism. The struggle of the Palestinian people is the struggle of the Latin American people. The indigenous people of Latin America are waking up, and soon there will be millions following the example of the grassroots movements, like the Zapatista example. Unity of the grassroots movements, the grassroots political organizations and indigenous people who are facing these demons is very important. We have to globalize the struggle. Today is such an important day, May Day. In some part of the world, like in Latin America, it's a public holiday where workers can go to the streets, demonstrate, highlight the issues they are facing. So when we talk about issues, we talk about the exploitation, how multinational corporations have become so powerful in our continent that no the government, no one has the power they have. But still, no matter if in Latin America, like it's happening in with the Palestinians, they can kill you if you protest in the street. We still go to the street. We still defend our right to go to the street. And I think it's so important that here in Australia, we continue trying to get this day as a day where workers can come and join us. Not the Labor Day, that is a day for people, I don't know what they do, but it's not the Workers' Day, it's not the day where we highlight all the winnings. You know, when I came to Australia, I was so impressed when I saw a T-shirt from the union, the first union that I joined, that was the ASU. And in the T-shirt, they have very clear what we have been winning, you know? And it's so important. It's so important to mention all that, because I think the new generation don't know that this has been a long fight. They've never been there. Bosses don't want you to work 8 hours. They don't want you to have rights. They want you to work and make them more rich. So that's why it's so important. We need to defend unions here. I think it's so important. And the last thing that I would like to say, as an indigenous person, of course, when I moved into the Chilean world, I was very ignorant about what was happening there to the Chilean people and to the Latin American people. I just knew what was happening to me and my community. But I was so lucky that I was able to study and learn and understand that the oppression I was having, it was happening to other people too. It was happening to indigenous people, to non-indigenous people. So that's the reason why we need to unite. We need to support the Palestinian people. They are our people, and we need to stand up with them now and always. And the last, I would like to say what I always say, if you have been here or somewhere when I'm speaking. What Mapuche people, we always end up our speech saying, Amulepeta in Weishan. So, Amulepeta in Weishan, Mari Shiweo. So, Mari Shiweo, 10 times we will win. And that I think is so important, because that what is giving my people the strength to face at the moment the Chilean government, who is using the anti-terrorist law to criminalize my people moving back into our land. It's shame of them. And it's the same what United States and the European countries and Australia are doing to the Palestinian people. Shame of them. So no to US and Europe imperialism. No to US and Europe colonialism. No to capitalism. Long life to indigenous peoples and workers. Thank you so much. I'm Mari Shiweo.
Thank you, Marisol. We've got one more speaker before we go on a march up to the 8-hour monument. Up there, we're going to hear from two or three other speakers. But before we do that, please welcome to the stage Hijra Ahmed. Hijra is a member of Anak Bangsa Merdeka. They're a collective in collaboration with Anak Bangsa Malaysia that consists of people from different cultural backgrounds who fight for the liberation of all oppressed people against colonialism of all forms, using art as a weapon of resistance. Give it up for Hijra.
Thank you, Kiran. Sorry, I'm not good with speaking, but I will try. First of all, we are gathered here today on the land of the Wurundjeri and Buwurrung people, who always was and always will be the traditional custodian of the land. I pay my respect to elders, past, present, and emerging. To First Nation people here today, and recognize that sovereignty was never ceded. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. First, I want to read a poetry from Usman Awang. He's from Malaysia, socialist, back in the 70s, got arrested, living in prison for 20 years. He's a lecturer, and he part of also the student movement back in 70s. And he also, I want to share one of his poetry in relating to the May Day. But please allow me to read in Bahasa, and after that I will read in English. Melarat di sepanjang jalan hidup, tidak kira tubuh perit dipanggang suria. Tidak hirau, dingin, hujan menyiram muka. Terus bekerja, terus pula menderita. Di rumah, anak-anak dan isteri muram durja. Apa untuk dimakan segala tiada. Pakaian compang-camping, namun hidup diteruskan jua. Sumpah seranah majikan, segala diterima dengan senyum getir. Patuh dalam kesabaran derita untuk sesen wang yang diterima. Tapi semakin ditindas-tindas, jiwa buruh semakin bergelora. Bersatu, bertenaga, bekerja dan berjuang mencapai taraf hidup setara manusia. And in English, if I will direct translate, worker soul. Impoverish our whole life. It doesn't matter our bodies painfully scorched by the sun. It doesn't care cold rain pouring on the face. Keep working and keep on suffering. At home, the wife and kids are gloomy. There is nothing to eat. Tattered clothes. However, life still goes on. The employer's promises all received with a bitter smile, obedient in painful patience for a penny of money received. But the more oppressed, the spirit of labor growth fiery, united in strength, in work and in struggle to reach a standard of living equal to all human. And another one from Wijituko. He's from Indonesia back in 1998. He got killed because of his poetry. And Prabowo, who's lead the army, also today he's the current president of Indonesia. He's killing lots of activists back in 1998, lot of opposition politicians, lot of West Papua people, and now today, I don't know why, I cannot speak on behalf of Indonesia, but Indonesia people vote Prabowo again as a president. Satu kawan bawa tiga kawan, masing-masing bawa lima kawan. Kalau kita satu fabrik, bayangkan kawan. Kalau kita satu kawan, satu tuntutan bersatu suara. Satu pabrik, satu kekuatan, kita tak mimpi kawan. Kalau satu pabrik bersatu hati, mogok dengan 100 poster, 3 hari, 3 malam, kenapa tidak kawan? Kalau satu pabrik, satu syarikat buruh bersatu hati, mogok bersama 10 daerah, sehari saja kawan, sehari saja kawan. Sehari saja kawan, kalau yang berjuta-juta bersatu hati mogok, maka kapas tetap terwujud kapas. Kerana mesin pintal akan mati, kapas akan tetap berwujud kapas, tidak akan berwujud menjadi kain. Serupa pelangi, pabrik akan lumpuh mati. Juga jalan-jalan, anak-anak tak pergi sekolah kerana tak ada bis. Langit pun akan sunyi kerana mesin pesawat terbang tak berputar. Kerana lapangan terbang lumpuh mati. Sehari saja kawan, kalau kita mogok kerja dan menyanyi dalam satu barisan, sehari saja kawan, kapitalis pasti kelabakan. In English, just one day, comrade. One comrade bring 3 comrades. Each of them couple with 5 comrades. If we are from a factory, imagine, comrade. If we are one heart, one demand, united in a voice, one factory, one force, we are not dreaming, comrade. If one factory unite, strike with 100 posters, 3 days, 3 nights, why not, comrade? If one factory, one trade union, united in spirit, strike together, 10 districts, just in a day, comrade. Just in a day, comrade. Just in a day, comrade. If we are in million in numbers, united in heart and strike, so cotton will remain cotton, because the machine will die. Cotton will remain cotton. It won't turn into clothes. Just like rainbow, the factory will die. The street as well. Kids not go to school because there are no buses. The skies will turn quiet because the plane engine will not be moving because the airport has been destroyed. Just one day, my friend, if we go on strike and we sing in one line, just one day, capitalism will fall. Thank you.
So if you've been paying attention tonight and you've been listening to the speakers, you'll see some common themes that we're all talking about. We're all talking about the racist justification of the violence, theft of our land and our resources. We're talking about the genocide and subjugation of our peoples. And we're talking about the need for solidarity, the need to come together, to stand together, to oppose imperialism and colonialism across the globe. So we're going to march now up to the 8-hour monument. There'll be a few more speakers there. There's another event on after that, but another one of the speakers is going to address that a bit better. Before we get started, though, I want to start off with some chants. Always was, always will be. Always was, always will be. From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. Papua.
Mandeka.
Papua.
Mandeka.
Papua.
Mandeka.
One struggle, one fight. Only one person knew that one. What's the go? It's meant to be May Day. So workers of the world unite is what you're supposed to say. One struggle, one fight. One struggle, one fight. All right, we're going to head up. We're going to follow the marshals up and the megaphones up to the 8-hour monument.
And you're listening to 3CR and our special broadcast this evening for International Workers' Day, May Day 2024. We've brought you live from the State Library of Victoria. We've heard speeches from a number of activists and organisers, and the group's now heading down to the Trades Hall, to the 8-hour monument, where they will commence a march, and that'll be followed by a few more speeches, which we hope to be able to bring you. But if we don't have time for that this evening, we'll be bringing that to you later in the week. And of course, listen in to Annie McLaughlin's Solidarity Breakfast on Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. And Annie will have lots of follow-up from today. We've heard Annie speaking with many of the people that are present at the rally this evening, and hearing some really intelligent responses and a really complex intersection of themes that run across imperialism, anti-imperialism, colonialism, capitalism, transcending borders and people. So stay tuned. We're going to go to a song now, and then we'll come back shortly and see where the march is at and whether we can bring you any more speeches. You're listening to 3CR, 855 AM on the dial, and live stream at www.3cr.org.au, or you may be listening on the community radio app, and hope you're enjoying what you're hearing.
You're as good as you can be. You're as if you care to believe.
That was This Day in May by Grace Cummings. You're listening to 3CR, and we're coming to the end of our live broadcast of the 2024 International Workers' Day rally. The march is taking place as we speak, and we will bring you the remaining speeches later in the programming this week on 3CR, so please keep listening in. Just wanted to thank all the organisers of the rally, the Black People's Union, Australia-Asia Workers Links, Latin American Solidarity Network, Renegade Activists and Free Palestine Melbourne, all the speakers, and of course the 3CR team on the ground, Annie McLaughlin, Marisol, Priya and Karina. I'm Claudia. It's been a pleasure to bring you this live broadcast and cross from the NAM Melbourne International Workers' Day Rally 2024. Thank you for your company this evening. And if you've missed anything or want to listen back to the whole day's special broadcast, you know where to go, 855 AM on the dial, 3cr.org.au, or listen in on your community radio app. Have a good evening. Tick, 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 tick,
tick, tick, tick, tick, tick. So here in Fitzroy, we're less than 1k away from the Workers' Monument, and people will walk past it every day, and I think we need to have a day like May Day to remind us what that struggle was all about and what it continues to be about. Workers fought for the right to have 8 hours work, 8 hours rest and 8 hours play. And if you think about your day, how does that stack up? It's as important as ever for workers to hold the line.